President Trump lost the election. Joe Biden won the election.
Collectively, Republicans got 1.661 million votes, 51,000 more votes than Trump got.
He exhausted his cases. He exhausted the court challenges.
All the Republicans voted for Trump the way they voted for the assembly candidates. He would have won.
It was not rigged. It was not stolen. Donald Trump lost the election. Joe Biden won the election. It's really clear.
This message was paid for by the People for People People Corporation. Donate online at p4ppc.org.
Gifting season is upon us, and here's an opportunity to spread the holiday joy. Ethical Trading Company is fighting to end human trafficking in the poorest areas of the world by providing a marketplace for artisans who have been freed from modern-day slavery or avoid being trafficked through this partnership. As a volunteer-ran nonprofit, every dollar spent in our physical or online store makes an impact in ridding the world of exploitation and in the lives of our artisans to perform dignified work. Check out our wide range of fair trade gifts by going to ethicaltradeco.com. Again, that's ethicaltradeco.com.
Welcome back to Dueling Tangents with Luke and Brian. We got Brian out, still on vacation. He will be back on Monday. But as for today, before the holiday weekend, I've got Dan Schaefer from the Recombobulation area joining me, and we're discussing 2022 elections here in Wisconsin and what is to come. So, Dan, let's dive into your first part one of your preview. And specifically, so we got a chance to recap kind of the political landscape expected here in the state between now and election day next year. And then part one dives into the U.S. Senate race. And there's still some speculation here because we've got a pretty crowded primary on the Democratic side, but even bigger speculation when it comes to whether or not U.S. Senator Ron Johnson is going to be seeking a third term. So you want to, let's just recap where your piece goes and catch us up and the listening audience where what your preview included.
Yeah, sure. So I think, you know, if you step back and take a look at the big picture for the Senate race for next year, the big question is about Ron Johnson and whether or not he's going to run again. And from where I'm sitting, I think all indications are pointing to him announcing a run for re-election. I would be pretty surprised at this point if he decided to bow out of the race. You know, there's not been a whole lot of other potential challengers who have announced yet. I think a lot of people were waiting for Johnson's decision, but there's really been nothing he's done, over the past few months that has indicated that he would be stepping back from the public eye in any way.
Yeah, the only thing that I can think of that would somewhat indicate that is the lack of staff that he had currently compared to this point before his 2016 re-election campaign. That's really the only indicator that looking at this election, he, I believe, had 7 or 8 staffers at this point in 2015 compared to what he would be running right now. But that's not to say that he doesn't have the individuals around him in his circle. They're just not currently on a campaign's payroll. That's all. So it's not necessarily the best indicator, but just as from a staffing standpoint, that's the only thing that says, hey, he might not be running. But as far as fundraising, he's still fundraising. And every indication in public appearance he's been making as of late, he really seems like he's really torn about it. And he doesn't know what he wants to do. But as early as, I forget if it was yesterday morning or Monday morning, he was on Fox and Friends saying, well, I don't really know how I could walk away from this right now. And so it seems like he's making it seem like it's an unwilling thing. Like he's
right.
He doesn't want to go back on his campaign promise to only run for and serve 2 terms. He would hate to break his word on that, but it sounds like you said, he's gearing up to run again.
Yeah, I think he's kind of playing it up like he has no other choice. Weirdly, even though obviously he does, but he's kind of talking about how, you know, he didn't expect things to be like this and he has to do this and he feels obligated and so on. So I think that is, you know, just going to justify the pledge that he made in 2016 to only serve 2 terms as senator and kind of, you know, be able to talk his way through the justification of that decision. And, you know, I think, you know, like you mentioned, he doesn't have a staff, but a campaign staff as of yet. But he's an unconventional guy, I think, to say the least. And I think, you know, as we get down the road here, he'll be able to ramp things up pretty quickly. He's been, you know, a candidate that has had some big name financial backers. I already mentioned the Uline's, how they throw the money around in Wisconsin. He's been a big Uline backed candidate as well. So I would expect that to continue.
Yeah. And I mean, and his track record though in Congress as well has kind of made some of those donors even richer. So I'm sure that they'd have no problem writing some checks for a campaign, even last minute, if he does choose to jump in the, and run for the third term. So
I have a feeling
there's not
that ProPublica story.
Exactly. Yeah. Yep. So, I'm not too worried about fundraising. Go ahead, Dan.
Sorry. If you look at the landscape with him though, I think he's been underestimated as a, you know, ballot box politician before. I don't think a lot of people expected him to win both times against Russ Feingold. You know, and we may be looking back here at thinking that 2010 and 2016 are probably two of the more favorable election cycles for Republicans. But he did, you know, kind of come from nowhere in 2010 and came from and was able to, you know, run for reelection in 2016. So I think, you know, people shouldn't discount that, even if he has these high unfavorable numbers, these, you know, high negatives about how he's viewed in Wisconsin. You know, I think this state is still evenly polarized, that you have the, you know, kind of natural regression to the mean of how, you know, how evenly split this state so often is. So I think, you know, Johnson may be going into this as the favorite with the math looking like it is for Republicans in 22 and, you know, just the incumbency. And yes, I'll begrudgingly admit his political skill, being able to kind of pull together a far right base and while maintaining some of that mainstream Republican support.
Right. So, he does the country club cordial very well. That's been kind of his bookmark, at least around here. He used to come around on the Devil's Advocate show pretty frequently and bring beer and disagree with the hosts, with Dom and Crute, but still, you know, come around for the interview and have the conversations. But as of late, that hasn't been the case. And so I think it's going to shape up to be a really interesting, whether he runs or not, it's going to be the U.S. Senate race will be almost, in my opinion, the top of the ticket, even though we do have a gubernatorial election next year as well. And hopefully we can dive into that next segment here. But I think, what do you think is going to happen if Johnson does choose to not run?
I think things get pretty, pretty messy for Republicans pretty quick, because you don't really have, you know, somebody ready to step in. You also have the open gubernatorial primary. You have folks like a guy like Kevin Nicholson, who's kind of running for both races right now. He hasn't decided yet which one he's going to lose.
Yeah. I think that would be the biggest name that would jump into it then. This is Dueling Tangents with Luke and Brian. Got Dan Schaefer joining me for the hour. We're discussing 2022, all the fun speculation to come for the next year's elections. We'll be right back.